Okay, thank you very much, Brother Jody. Now, ushers, would the ushers please come in? Ushers, duck those cigarettes and come on in. There they go. Come on, gentlemen. Okay, now, if you did not get one of these outlines on the Jude tonight, raise your hand. They say, come back up the aisle. You'll need it. This is what I'll follow tonight. So go right ahead, gentlemen. Just raise your hand. And I'll wait just a moment and we'll get started. So you can turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 1, 32. 1 Corinthians 1, 32. And we'll pray and get right into this lesson tonight. This is a teaching, preaching type. I hope it turns into a little preaching, but I'm teaching on the Jew tonight. And so we'll wait just a moment till everyone gets one so you can follow along. Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Now, let's pray. Let's read this verse. Let's read this verse and then we'll pray. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Just amazing. This is what my springboard from this verse right here tonight for the lesson. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming here to the house of God tonight and opening the book. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, we couldn't have made it without this precious book. And may we love it, live by it, and magnify it, and magnify the God of the Word and the Savior of the Word. Now help us tonight, Lord, and I can't preach unless you help me. And so would you help me? I pray. And you get the glory out of everything going on tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, late last year, I don't remember the exact time it was, but President Trump made a decision to move the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And this shocked the world and caused the United Nations and almost all major countries of the world to voice strong opposition. And then last month, Vice President Pence, you saw this problem, most of you did, he told the Israeli parliament that we will start moving our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem next year. And so we heard more worldwide opposition. But born again people everywhere were thrilled that on this bold move by the president. And we know that Jerusalem was designated by our God to be the capital of the nation Israel over 3,000 years ago. And since Israel and Jerusalem have been in the news just constantly for the last few years, I felt led for us to have a study of Israel and God's people, the Jews. Now, I gave this lesson 12, 15 years ago, but it's so pertinent, I thought I'd do it again tonight. I've enjoyed studying. I hope you get half as much out of this that I've got out of studying it. But when I surrendered to preach during spring practice, in 1953, down to southern Mississippi. And then right after that fall, I went over to Bob Jones University to start preparing for the ministry. I knew God had called me, and so I needed to prepare. Went over there. And I had the privilege of going in and sitting there and listening to old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., one of the greatest men that ever walked on the face of this earth. I mean, he had preached and the fear of God would grip you. And so Dr. Bob Jones Sr. pointed this verse out in one of the first services I was at Bob Jones University in Chapel. And he pointed that God sees three classes of people in this world. The Jew. Now the Jews are the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're the earthly people of God. And the Gentile, all of the human race who are not Jews are Gentiles. Then this third one, the Church of God, composed of born-again Jews and Gentiles. And now for 4,000 years, under all kinds of circumstances, and in all countries, the Jews they've lived as a distinct people. And they have their laws and habits and customs all their own. And this has set them apart all these centuries from other people on the face of the earth. And nations and empires such as Greece and Rome and Babylon and Egypt, they've all come and gone. But the Jew as a race of people, because God, they're in unbelief today, but God hadn't forgotten the Jews, his hands on them in their unbelief. But the Jews as a race of people have outlived their captors, and they still stand amongst the wreckage of nations and empires. And no nation has seen such a divine manifestation. Just think, God parted the Red Sea, and the Jews walked over on dry ground. Old Pharaoh dove in there, and God closed the water up on him. And then when he fed the Jews, Israel, and clothed them for 40 years, 40 long years. And he sheltered them with fire by night and a cloud by day. And God stopped the sun and the moon while they killed their enemies. So the divine manifestation has been on the Jews. And no nation has produced such a number of great men. Abraham, the great man of faith in God. Moses, the lawgiver, probably the greatest man who ever lived except Christ. And certainly one of the greatest in the Old Testament. Joseph and Daniel, two of the greatest statesmen in history. David, one of the great kings. I believe he's the greatest king that ever was until Jesus comes to reign in the future. And Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. And many Nobel science winners were Jews. The Apostle Paul, the greatest theologian. Or don't you thank God for the Apostle Paul, the greatest theologian ever lived. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived, was a Jew according to the flesh. And he was God come in the flesh, the God-man. And so you can see why I'm a Jew. I love the Jewish people, even though we're in unbelief. And so why it thrilled me when President Trump said he's going to make the Jerusalem, the capital, move it to his embassy to the capital. Why? Just like people sending their embassy to America and make it in Nashville, Tennessee, rather than send it to New York or to Washington. That'd be just the same thing. But anyway, one of the greatest miracles of history is the preservation of the Jew. And also the preservation of God's word through the Jewish people. God's preserved this book through the Jewish people. Now, I have four main reasons why God has preserved the Jew. First, for he raised them up to teach there is one God. One God. Monotheistic, one God. Polytheistic is many gods. But he called Abraham and raised him up in the Jewish people so that the people would believe in the one God, the Lord God Jehovah. And then he preserved the Jews to write and preserve and transmit the Bible. Every page of my King James Version was written by the Jew. Now some people say Luke was a Greek. No, he wasn't. He was a Hellenistic Jew. I believe the Jew, God used the Jews to give us the Word of God. And also to give us the Savior. Another reason. The wise men told Herod when they came looking for him, they were looking for one born, what? King of the Jews. And the angel singing out there, the night he is born. And the angel said, unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm getting thrilled by just going over all this. And then another thing that reason they God miraculously preserved the Jews was to save the world from moral putrefaction. They've had a tremendous moral impact on the world as well as financial and economical and educational too. So let's just trace the history of the Jew for past, present, and future. Now, many books could be written on just about every main point that I'm going to give you tonight. But one of the greatest miracles of history, as I've already said, was the preservation of the Jew. But let's look at these. Let's trace the history of the Jew, his past, his present, and his future. First of all, their past. Let me just give you a few great events in the past history of the Jews. Their founding of a nation, number one. The Jewish nation began 412 years after the flood when God called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees to be the father of a new nation. Turn over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, most people think Abram was a idol worshiper when God called him out of this darkness and said, Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. But that's the reason I'm a promoter of Israel. It's because I want God to bless me, and I certainly don't want the curse of God on my life. Then look down to verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Then turn over to chapter 15, verse 18. This is a great verse. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed. Now, I have underlined thy seed here and put it in quotation marks. The state of Israel, all that country doesn't. Now, I have compassion for the Palestinians, but God has given it to the seed of Abraham, the Jewish people. And he said, I've given, and notice this, and I don't have time to go into this right here, but I'm just showing you just a second, that I've given unto thee from the river of Egypt, under the great river Euphrates. Now, turn on the back of your outline there. I don't have time to get into this, but I just want to show you. This is the land that God has promised to the Jew, and they just have a little tiny part of it today. But notice from over there where the river of Egypt touches the Mediterranean, God said all the way from there, all the way to the Euphrates River is the land for Israel. And then all the way up to Hamath, up north. That's way above Damascus, Syria. Now, I tried to get a good map on this to find out exactly where the nations are today. But the best I could figure out, and I may be a little wrong on some of this, but I don't think I am, though. But the royal grant that God gave to Abraham, the Jews will get someday, and they'll have that as God promised it to them. It includes all of the present day Israel, all of Jordan, all of Lebanon, all of the Palestinian West Bank, part of Saudi Arabia, part of Syria and part of Iraq. And God's going to give that to the Jews someday. Now, that's all I have time to say about that. But God's already told us what he's going to do. Now, God promised Abraham he would make of him a great nation. And that promise was given to Isaac and Jacob. And Abraham's grandson, Jacob, took 70 descendants into Egypt, where they remained for 400 years and grew into a nation of slaves. Then we come to the Exodus. God used Moses to lead them out of Egypt by his mighty power. They had to wander 40 years because of their unbelief, but God miraculously provided for them. Their soles of their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. How'd you like to have a pair of brogans like that? And every morning, they'd take their water bucket and go fill it with manna, enough for the family all day. No water, that's no problem. Moses struck the rock, and water come out to hundreds of thousands of Israelis. Our God is not limited, is he? That's why I want to be on God's side, and I want him on my side, don't you? But then Joshua, Moses led them up to the promised land, but God used Joshua to lead them over into Jordan and into the promised land. Did you know that Joshua is one of the greatest military tacticians the world's ever seen? His strategy was divide and conquer. You have studied any about the great generals. And do you know most of the great generals have studied Joshua, what he did? And I've read Nathan Bedford Forrest, and Southern general, and that's what he did. He'd hit the enemy and try to find a weak spot, and he'd concentrate his forces there and break through on them. When he broke through, they had to retreat, so it was Katie bar the door then. And Stonewall Jackson and General Patton in the World War II, he would get his armored mechanism units and hit the German, and when he broke through, they took off running for Berlin from him. He chased them all the way to Berlin. But then we come to the period of Judges for 450 years, and it was a time of confusion and apostasy, folks, just like today. We're living, the apostasy is upon us across this land. Because the problem in Washington, D.C., is they've turned from God and the Word of God. That's our trouble. But anyway, God ruled Israel during this time through the judges whom he called and empowered. Now, some of these judges were rascals, and like Samson. But still, the Spirit of God rested upon them. You know, God has always used men in spite of their faults. Brother Jody, we as preachers ought to be glad of that. I was here 46 years, and he used me a little bit in spite of my faults. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that overlooks you and uses you, even though you don't quite understand it? I don't know why God uses me, but every now and then, thank God, he does a little bit. And then we move into the time, but I'm going to hurry and get to the future of the Jews here, but I'm getting working up there. Time of the kings. The people decided they wanted a king, and even though it was not God's will, and Samuel warned them against it, but to no avail, so they wanted a king, and Samuel anointed Saul, and Saul was king for 40 years, then David for 40, and then Solomon for 40, and then, as you know the story of Solomon's sad situation, God appeared to him twice, personally, twice. Yet he brought heathen, idol-worshipping wives in. And before Solomon died, he was worshipping false gods and idols. I can understand that. But after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided, and this brought on the declining strength of Israel. Assyria carried the 10 top nations into captivity, and 100 years later, the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and carried Judah into captivity. Then we come to the awful period of the restoration to worldwide dispersion. After 70 years of captivity, God allowed some to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city and the temple and the walls. However, from the captivity now, from the captivity when the Jewish people went into captivity, Babylonian Assyrian captivity, from that period till 1948, the Jewish people were not a sovereign nation. And then what little Israel over there is just a small country, they have 6 million, and they are not, certainly not restored to the land yet. But however, this time from their going into captivity up until the present day and on into the future, and I believe till at the end of the tribulation, this is called the times of the Gentiles. This is the time of the Gentiles today. And the Jews and the Romans crucified Jesus. And then in 70 AD, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the Jews were scattered among the nations. Now let's look at their present. When Jesus stood condemned in Pilate's hall, what did Pilate say? He said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person." What did the Jews say in Matthew 27:25? They cried out, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." And you know what? God took them at their word. And this has been literally fulfilled. The blood of Jesus Christ has been upon the Jewish race of people since this time. And the Jews have known nothing but murder and terrible persecution for 2,000 years. Now let me just mention just a little of their persecutions. In AD 70, when Rome destroyed Jerusalem, 1 million Jews perished in that siege. It was a carnage. And Josephus, the historian, said only 97,000 survived the four-month siege by Titus and 100,000 Roman soldiers in that siege. And then in England, the Jews were banished in 1020. And in 1190, 500 of them were burned in the castle of York in one pile. And then France run the Jews out of their country in 1306. And Germany, as you know, has an awful record of persecuting the Jews. In 1350, in Germany, 2,000 Jews were put on a huge scaffold at Strasbourg, and they set fire to that scaffold and burned 2,000 Jews to death. And then, let me mention another just little of this: how the Jewish people have been persecuted since and judged for their rejection of Jesus. In Germany, it has an awful record of persecuting the Jews. In 1350, 2,000 Jews were put on a huge scaffold at Strasbourg, and they set fire to the scaffold. In World War II, you know about Eichmann and Hitler killing over 6 million Jews. And when General Patton drove into the Auschwitz prison and his men saw all that horror, the Jewish people in there were emaciated and just living skeletons is all they were. And you know what those men did? They lined all the American soldiers, lined all those German guards up and killed every one of them, shot every one of them. And General Eisenhower, later President Eisenhower, told General Patton to do an investigation of that. And he sent a couple of his officers, and they made an investigation, handed him the report, and he tore it up and threw it in a waste paper can. They were all incensed at that. In Spain, the Spanish Inquisition, they murdered thousands. And then they had what you might have heard of, the Iron Maiden, where they had a iron woman they made and opened it up, had spears inside all through it, and they'd put Jews in there and enclosed it. And it was horrible. The Jews were fearful of that. I would be too. But anyway, the Jews are hated worldwide today. And folks, this hatred for the Jews is a satanic hatred. Satan knows that God's going to take care of the Jews, and one day he's going to make them the greatest nation the world has ever seen. That's why the devil is fighting. But the Jews are probably in better shape today than they've ever been worldwide at the present. Now, there's some persecution in Russia and the Arab countries and in France. I know I read in the paper that some of the Jews are having to move out of subdivisions in Paris because the Muslims are coming in and causing all kind of trouble. And by the way, you better be for keeping the border secure in America too. It'll happen here when they bring in thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of Muslims. And in three or four generations, this will be a Muslim country if that happens. But the secret, but in spite of all of this persecution, the Jews have endured as a race of people. And mainly because of the hand of God. Even though they're in unbelief, temporarily, God hasn't forgotten his people. And the secret of their endurance, they have some national laws of hygiene and diet and moral laws, and I'm not going to get into that. And then I think one of the greatest things that keeps them going, every Jew has a national hope that of a bright future. They're looking for the Messiah the first time. They're looking for him to come, and when he comes, they'll be taken back to Israel, and peace will come to this earth. So the Jews are looking for the Messiah the first time. Thank God I'm looking for him the second time. Now let's go quickly. I wanted to get to this and spend a little time right here before I turn it back over to Brother Jody here. Yes. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. I'll pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that we can roll our cares out upon our Heavenly Father. Thank you, you hear and answer prayers. God, I pray now this precious Sarah Briggs, Lord. She's having trouble breathing, but we know, God, you can, if it be your precious will, would you look down tonight in that hospital over there, Lord, and touch her? Lord, you've helped me down through the years. I know you can do it. Lord, you have all power in heaven and earth. And if it be your precious will, would you touch her? Touch the family, Lord, during this time. We commit this precious girl to thee. Would you help her, Lord, if it could be in accordance with your divine purpose for her life? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now we've seen the past and the present. Now let's look at the future of God's children. I've been anxious to get to this future of the Jews. The question, is God through with the Jews? The answer is no, absolutely not. God, they're in unbelief, but they're, God's not through with the Jews. Now there's many verses I could get, but turn, first of all, the fact of their restoration. God's going to restore them. Just one couple of verses in Amos 9:14 to 15. That's page 940 in your Schofield Reference Bible. 940, Amos, the ninth chapter. Okay, is everybody there? 940, Amos 940. If you have a Schofield Reference Bible, 940. And Amos 9, verse 14. God says, now here's what God says. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make, got to praying and weeping there, and I can't hardly read my, just a second. I don't apologize for tears. I have such few tears that I don't apologize for them. I will bring again the captives of my, captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And now here's what God says. How many of you believe God's able to do this? Say amen or something. Oh me or hallelujah or something. I will plant them. God says, I will. God's going to do it. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. That's enough stop and shout on just for a few minutes right there, isn't it? And then let's move quickly. That's the fact. Now, there's many other verses in the Bible. That's enough right there where he says, I will do it. Then let's look at the time of the restoration. I won't have you to turn. I've got the verse right here in my notes. Luke 21:24. Jerusalem, here's when they're going to be restored. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're in the time of the Gentiles today. You know when that's going to end? At the end of the 7-year tribulation. And because, I'll get to them in a minute, because the tribulation is not for the church, it's for the Jew. We're going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb while God takes care of the Jews during the tribulation period. And then the manner of their restoration. Well, first of all, they'll be gathered back in an unconverted state. Look at chapter 36 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:24, page 880 in your Scofield Bible. For I will take you, God says, from among the heathen, and gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clear water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and all your idols. See, he's going to bring them back in the land in unbelief and sin, and going to take care of it. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you. Well, let me see there on that. Now, where else? Look, turn over to Romans 11. Romans 11, 25. Romans 11, 25. But I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the time of the Gentiles be come in. And verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall become out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant, God says, unto them when I shall take away their sins. Then they will, as I said, they will be judged before they're converted. They come back in an unconverted state. They're providentially blinded today. Look back at Ezekiel again, the 20th chapter. Ezekiel 20. Okay, Ezekiel 20, verse 34. 20, verse 34. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead to you in face to face like I pleaded with you, your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I will plead with you, saith the Lord God, and I will cause you to pass under the rod. That's the tribulation period. So I'm not going to read any more right there, but Daniel 9:24 says that the 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and the 70th week is a time of tribulation. And during the tribulation, God will judge Israel for their sins. Now turn over to Matthew 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation. That is the great tribulation. Israel's going to be there and suffer terribly, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. But notice, for the elect's, and that's the Jews, elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false prophets, false Christs and false prophets. And move down to verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even in the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And then, when this is during the, at the end of the tribulation now, and look down at verse 31, and here's what he's going to do with Israel around the world. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, one from one end of heaven to the other. Now, when the Lord comes back, the Jew will be supernaturally gathered from around the world and be converted as a nation. Then the Lord will give them the land of Palestine that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord will reign as on King David's throne. Jesus sat on King David's throne in Israel for 1,000 years. And Israel will be the greatest nation the world has ever seen. And the greatest revival. You know, I'd like seeing of the great revival. When I was a boy, I'd see revivals going on for weeks. And it's hard to have a revival today. But the greatest revival I hope to ever see, is going to be at the end of the tribulation when the Lord reveals himself to the Jews as their Messiah. They will repent and mourn over their sins. And the Lord will forgive them. Forgive his earthly people, the Jews, and give them the land of Palestine. As he promised Abraham, what a day that will be. Now, I'm going to close with a song. Ellen, you can hang your head down there as I sing this song here. But when I was a boy, I was raised, you know, when I was a boy in the Methodist Church, there wasn't a liberal in the Saudi Methodist Church. They were getting a little dead, but there weren't any liberals. Liberalism came on later. But there were some great people. One of the greatest ladies I've ever seen in my life, she'd come down the road. They'd talk to her about Jesus. She's a shouting Mr. Page and Aunt Sir Jane McAllister. But anyway, in this church, they'd sing this song every now and then. And as a young boy, God would use it to speak to me. I'm going to half talk and half sing. That's, I don't know. You can get the message anyway. From all the dark places of earth's heathen races, oh, see how the thick shadows fly. The voice of salvation awakes every nation. Come over and help us, they cry. The kingdom is coming. Oh, tell ye. I'm getting a little happy up here right now. The old lady said, hold my baby while I shout. That's about where I am right now. The kingdom is coming, oh, tell ye the story. God's banner exalted shall. Things are going to get better, folks. God, the earth shall be full of his knowledge and glory as waters that cover the sea. One more verse and I'll be through, Brother Jody. With shouting and singing and jubilant ringing, their arms, now I don't know where this is theologically correct, biblically correct, but it sounds good. Their arms of rebellion cast down. At last, every nation, the Lord of salvation, their King and Redeemer shall crown. Hallelujah. The kingdom is coming. Oh, tell ye the story. God's banner exalted shall be. The earth shall be full of his knowledge and glory as waters that cover the sea. Sister Lashley, you can come back out from under the pew now. There you go, Brother Jody. Cheers. Hope I hadn't ruined your church.
Amen. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we, please? And as we prepare for this
invitation tonight. I tell you, God's going to keep His word. There's no doubt about it. And this church and every child of God should be a friend of the Jew. There's no doubt about that. And we thank the Lord for the promises of Scripture. I was reading something today. Dr. John Getch put it out. He said, "You're not going to break the promises of God by leaning on them." That's a great statement. And just thinking about the promises of God. So as she plays through softly, I never want to let a service come and go without giving people a chance to respond. It could be that God's spoken to your heart in a special way tonight. I want you to come pray about it. Obviously, the altar's always open if you need to be saved, if you need to trust the Lord, all of that, that'll be good. Let's just begin to play through softly. I'll give you an opportunity here to respond if you need to do that.